Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, this Easter Sunday. It's truly the world rejoices in your resurrection, but we know for certainty that you are resurrected because you are here. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that we'd have a good understanding today of what it's all about and what this Easter is all about, and that it was a once-for-all sacrifice. That means, no, we don't have to go to the judgment. We've already passed from life into death. So, Lord, be with us today and help us, Lord, to really appreciate this day, each other, and your presence among us, because we know very soon that we'll be taken from this earth and we'll ever be with you in your presence. And knowing that all things work together for the good, then how wonderful it's going to be over there. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you get us ready for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So good to see you all today. Josh, good to see you. Peter and Diane. Well, this will be number 216. I entitled it Once for All Sacrifice. And from Satan's Eden, Brother Bram said, as I told you a few Sundays ago, when I stood by my dying baby, and Satan standing there and said, there's your daddy, died in your arms the other night. There's your wife laying down in the morgue, and here's your baby. And you ask him to answer you, and he pulled the shade down over you. Now, and yet he's a good God, and yet you said he was a healer. And you, who are standing for what you said was right, you're wrong. And every reason, every mental faculty had to agree that he was right, and he was right that much. How many of us in these last hours have gone through needing healing, needing something special from God, and yet we've listened to the lies of Satan, and he's told us, yeah, you believe in healing, but you know what? It's not for you. Or, you know, you believe it's for somebody else, but it's not for you. Well, let me just say, it's for you. His promises are for you. So take them into your heart and believe them with all your heart. Now remember, Satan is a good accuser of the brethren. But Job answered all these same accusations with Satan, as well as in Job in 3:15, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. So don't you become accusers of anybody. I don't care if they're Satan's seed, okay? I don't care if they're of the devil. Just let them be. You focus on God, on the positive things of God. All right. So, was he right when he had told Eve, your eyes will be opened and you will know right from wrong? Or you will be as gods that way, knowing right from wrong? Because God didn't let them see themselves yet, that they were naked. So they know that they would know right from wrong, and he was right. But you see, it was contrary to the word. And that is what I want to talk about this morning. As you know, we have covered through many sermons that God is sovereign and he knows all things and that all things will work out for your good if you love him and are the called according to his purpose. And Brother Brown says, and so does the ministers and seminaries learning man-made theology. It may seem right. It may be a good understanding of a thing, but it's wrong. We don't have to understand it. We believe it because God said it so, and that just settles it forever. And that is the right key, that is the key right there. He doesn't say you will never understand it. He just says you hold on to your belief until you do. Then you will understand the things of God if you have the Holy Ghost, because that is what he taught in his word in 1 Corinthians 2. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So if you have his Spirit, you have the Spirit of truth in you. And if you have the Spirit of truth in you, he said he will lead you into all truth. So the revelation is sovereign, and it comes from his Spirit. And you know what? He's given it to you, and he hasn't given it to 6 or 7 billion people in this world. Now, that's actually probably 7.995 or whatever. He's only given it out to a handful of people, maybe 500, Brother Bram thought. For the Spirit, and there's only one the Spirit, and that is God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You find yourself searching out the truths of this message. That's the Holy Spirit in you. All right? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's why wives don't even understand their husbands, and husbands don't understand their wives. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. And of course, God knows all things. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, that's not what we've received, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, and remember, of means out from, it links its source to God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So you have his Spirit in order to know the things of God. Isn't that wonderful? You can see things happening in this world, and others that you talk to don't have a clue. They're baffled. They wondered about COVID. We all knew it before it came, because we read where Brother Branham said, it's coming. All right? We all knew that we're going to go into a depression. They're still wondering if it's going to happen or not. We know it will happen. You see, we know these things. They don't. So when it comes, we say, well, I knew it was coming. I prepared myself like Egypt did for the plagues that they received. They were in their home. They stored up water. They did these things. I prepared myself to last, I don't know if it was 10 days or if it was 30 days or if it was 3 months or whatever. But I've done my portion to show that I believe, like Noah built the ark because he believed the message that God had given him, right? Okay. Okay, so this means that we receive the Spirit of God from God, which takes over our spirit in order for us to know the things that things of God which are freely given to us from God, and there is no other way to know them. I don't care if you go to Harvard, it's proven itself to be a deleterious place. All right, now for those who are translating it, just put rotten down, and you've pretty much got the picture. Now, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. We're not getting it from our Harvard education or Columbia University or Yale or whatever. I mean, they don't even give you a grade at Yale. You get a pass or fail. So it shows that, you know, they've got so many dumbed down elites going there, they can't afford to give them a grade because half of them would fail. All right? But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing. The Holy Ghost in you is going to do what? It's going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Now that is really wonderful, because that's going to cause you to study. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So you see, without receiving his Spirit, we are helpless even to understand the things of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They don't even bother looking into it, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. It's impossible, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, couldn't make it any plainer than how he said it here. He said that if you are just a natural man, unborn again, if that's a word, which means just a carnal man, you cannot understand the things of God. So don't expect them to understand when you're trying to teach them these things. Don't expect them. So don't even do it. You know, you're not obligated to save the world. God saved the world through Jesus Christ, and they either reject it or they receive it, okay? In fact, if he says it is impossible for you to even know them, I know some, I just feel like, look, I'm not a prophet, I'm just one of God's servants. But I know that people say, well, then why have you gone all over the world? I didn't go there to save them. I went there to educate, to train. These are my brothers, and I went overseas to show them the scriptures are right. And you know what? God vindicated every place I went by doing signs and wonders. So it wasn't me. It was him showing that the message is right. Okay? Now, in fact, he says, it is impossible for you to ever know them. Now, the word to know them, he is speaking here, is the word ginosko, which means to know and to understand by experience it. So he says, you cannot understand the things of God, but also in no way can you ever know by experiencing the things of God if you're not born again. But when you're born again, he says, you will know him because he'll be in you, even the Spirit of truth. So, you know what? I am so thankful that God is in us, okay? So he says they cannot understand the things of God, but also in no way can they experience it. So this not only tells us, or tells me, that they will not have the revelation of what he is trying to get over to the people, but he will not even experience the knowing of it. So that leaves him plainly as an intellectual Christian. And don't we, or haven't we met a lot of them in this hour? They know the scriptures intellectually, but it means nothing to them. It means no more than what you learned in second grade. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. And so they hardly ever use it. Even at the checkout counter, they don't even check their bill. And then before paying, they just, okay, and they put the card in. And then maybe a week later, when they get their bill in the mail, they say, oh, I didn't buy that. You see, that's like the scriptures. Oh, I didn't know it said that. It does. Why don't you just read it? All right? So this is a hard statement. But you really need to check yourselves to see whether you are even in the faith, which is a revelation. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:15, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. How are you going to examine yourself? Open your Bible. Am I reading what I am, or am I reading what Jesus was? You see, if you have the same faith of the Son of God, then you have the same thing before you that he had, and that you are a son and God is your father. So act like a son. Like Brother Bram said, the slave that was a son of a king acted differently than all the rest of them. So how do you examine yourself to see whether you are even in the revelation? How do you prove your own self to know whether you are even in this revelation? No, that's a good question. If it is a revelation, are you even catching what it said? Now, John taught us to examine ourselves by the word of God, to give it the word test in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, he is saying, you don't even have to believe everything that I tell you. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So if I'm not telling you what the scripture and what the prophet says, I don't care. Just, you don't have to believe a thing. But if I'm telling you what the prophet said and what the scripture says, then you have to believe, because it's them. All right? I'm just an echo chamber. I hope you are too. So how do you try the spirits to see whether they have God or not? Well, if God is the word, then are they saying his own word, or are they just holding on to their own words or the words of another? Well, Brother so-and-so said, and Brother so-and-so said, yeah, but did God's prophet say it? Huh? Did God's prophet teach that? I know a lot of you hold in certain ministers around the world. Maybe you did at one time. But did the prophets say what they're saying? You know, all these isms that have gone out in the world, all, you know, like polygamy is one that's being taught in some churches. Seven thunders, two souls, you know, different isms that have gone on in the name of the prophet. Are they really said by the prophet, those things? I don't think so. But the pastors might say those things. But did God's word say them? So as I said, if God is the word and you want to try them by the Spirit, and the Spirit, Jesus, my words are spirit in their life, then you try them by the same word that he tried them by. So you see, if you try every spirit by the word, then are they teaching what the word says, or what some group of men say about it? Are they lining up God's word with the spoken word of a vindicated prophet, or what some other men teach, and that includes yourself? Are you teaching things that the prophet didn't say? But he that is spiritual, and I like the word spiritual, because actually the word spirit, you all, all right? In other words, it's spiritful. He that is filled with the Spirit judges all things. If you are spiritual, It means you are spirit-filled, then you can judge all things. And how do you do that? You use the Word of God to do it, just like Jesus did, just like William Branham did. He said, I check every vision by the Word. Do you check every dream by the Word? Do you check every so-and-so said by the Word? So how do you do that? You use the Word to do it, yet himself is judge of no man. Because if they try to judge you, they're only judging the Word. That's why I'm so grateful that I teach the way I do, because I take everything back to what the prophet said, back to what the scripture says. Therefore, at the white throne, when all my sermons are played before you all, and you say, well, Brother Bram said that, or Jesus said that, and the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, there's no judgment here because you've already judged yourself, and you already have my spirit in you, eternal life. I'm looking forward to that day. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? How many people have tried to tell God what to do? Come on. How many times have you ever said, well, God, why don't you do it this way or that way? He hasn't figured out better than you do. You know, if all things work together the way you would like them, you'd be in a lot of trouble. But if they all work together for your good, by who? By God. So, for who hath the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, look, we need to know our place. We're like, remember the video you saw where you had the earth, and then you had the sun was like how many times the earth, and then you had, Maximus? I can't remember that. It was a Canaan Maximus, which was made the sun look like a dwarf star. And then they said, now you picture yourself. Now, let's go, zoom down, 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 down. And here's a golf ball. And then you are just a little speck that you can't even see that's on there, a little speck of dust that you don't even see on the golf ball. And yet you have this great God who created Canine Maximus, which is like 100 or 1,000 times, you know, the size of the sun. And the sun is how many times the size of the earth? And yet our God sees everything that you think about, everything that you work, all your jobs and everything else, and God is just in fully control. And so you don't have to worry about anything. He's got it all planned out, predestinated out. Your future from your past is all wrapped in predestination. Like I mentioned many times, like a watermelon seed has everything in it to make a watermelon. And you have everything in it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make you a son or daughter of God. And that means eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, I'm just so happy. I mean, I could just jump up. I could just run around the church right now. But I don't run, so I'll just leave it at that. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we have his doxa, his thoughts. And furthermore, he told us, there is a time when he appears that we look through a glass darkly, but there will also come a time when we shall see clearly. How many have ever looked through a lattice? You know, in the book of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, it's all about the bride of Christ. And it says, I see him coming down from the hill through a lattice. But then I see him face to face and I embrace him and we go into my mother's chambers. You know what that's all it's telling you about? About how the bride is spiritually united with the groom. She saw him darkly like the scripture says, but then when he came into her presence, she saw him face to face. She saw the Word as it really is. Now, there's a time when I am to know in part, he says, but there is coming a time when I shall know as I'm known. And that is 1 Corinthians 13, 9 to 12. For we know in part, we didn't start out this journey where we are today. We didn't come into this message where we are today. We didn't even have it 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But we know now what we didn't know even 5 years ago, even a year ago. But when that which is perfect is come, and there's nothing perfect but God, who is the Word, then that which is in part shall be done away. My 20-year-old in part person is nothing compared to my 20-year-old glorified person. I won't care about kicking footballs and doing things of the world. I will care only about one thing, and that's the love that my Father shows me every day. And it's such a wonderful love. And I realize He lets you get old. Every prophet was old, just about. William Branham escaped that. He was only 56 when God took him home. And I imagine Elijah was, somewhere around that age. But I look at all the men from Samuel all the way down. They got old. They got crippled. They got hunched over. And their ending was like, wow, why would He put me in, like Job, why would He put me in this body? But you know what? Though He slay me, yet I'll trust Him. And I think He's letting us know our humanity is no good. He's letting us know that His Word and our glorified condition, oh, hallelujah, I can't hardly wait. I'm looking more forward to that than anything else in the world. I don't care if you got a big stake. I don't care if you got all the gold and silver in the world. I don't care what you've got. You're going to die if God doesn't intercede, because no flesh shall be saved. Now, when will that which is perfect will come? It will come at the parousia of Christ, when God, who is perfect, comes with a shout which is perfect. And since God is the Word, then the shout will reflect His presence with a perfect word, a perfect revelation, a perfect faith. In fact, that is what Brother Branham taught us in Questions and Answers. And so we read, please explain 1 Corinthians 13:8-12. Now that which is perfect is restored to the church. Are these verses fulfilled? Or now that the perfect word is restored to church, are these verses fulfilled? Now I think I just went through that, didn't I? And when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I do all these things, but then that which is perfect is come. Now, is there anything perfect but God? No, sir. God is perfect. Or is God perfect? In the beginning was the congregation, implies the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word's still God. See? All right. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. And he said in Questions and Answers, COD, in 1 Corinthians 13, he says this, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's grace, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. We all did. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. That's why Brother Don spent his last 2-3 years unpacking, getting ready to go home. When he was ready, God took him home. Now from perfect faith, Brother Branham said, now if you see something else, do something by a word, an act of God or promise of God, and many of them say, I can do that too, it's an imagination. I know a man who left this church, and I saw it 2 years before he did in a vision, night vision, but in a dream. I remember telling Michael when it happened. And I said, I see him in a classroom. He went around praying for people. He went to this one woman in particular and prayed for her. And you know, when he left this church, he said, well, I can do the things William Branham did because I pray for a woman. She got a healed of a headache. Wow, healed of a headache. She didn't grow an eyeball or she didn't, grow a foot or anything like that. She got healed of a headache. I could probably slap her on the head and she'd get healed of a headache and she'd have a sore cheek. I could hit her hand with a hammer and her headache would go from there to here. Like Brother Vail said, replace a habit with a habit. That's just man can do that. But God is the originator. And God came down with healing in his wings. So Brother Bram says, now if you see somebody else do something by a word or act of God, or promise of God, many of them say, I can do that. It's an imagination. And when they do, you find them wrecked up out there somewhere. It's got to be a substance. Now that is a potentiality of faith. That is something that would bring you to faith. It's potentially like if you'd ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn. Potentially you have an oak tree, but it hasn't produced itself yet. But when it really brings itself out, it is an oak tree. And when you imagine that God does this, and when it's revealed to you, it's a faith then, a perfect faith that cannot fail. That's the reason those visions are so tremendous to me, because it's been proved right every time. You see, we don't just have a revelation from a prophet. We have a vindicated revelation. God himself proved that it was right. And Brother Branham says he doesn't prove by miracles and this and that. He proves by the word. He proves by the word. Get that through your thinking. Is it right with the word? I don't care if the man had, I don't care if a brother in this message said, well, I prayed for this person and God bless God, God healed him, God raised him from the dead. You know what? That's wonderful, but what does the word say? If he says, well, I lay my hands on you and I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and something happens, that's not God. That's not God. If they say we're having a great revival, and then I find out that it's run by a bunch of homosexuals and queers and LGBTs, BLTs, okay, that's not God. You see, brother, sister, we do it by the word, everything by the word. And I know that he promised that, and he promised it in his word, and here he comes and promised it for the day. Therefore, you know where you're standing when he says so. See, like Jesus said, I do nothing but what he shows me to do. Are you doing the same thing? Are you looking in your Bible when you come and you come up against a situation and you say, wow, I don't know how to handle this. Check your Bible and see if there's something in the Bible that says how you handle it and then do it. Like God's showing you. He's those are instructions of the Father. Therefore, you know where you're standing when he says so. See, that gives me a faith because he never does nothing contrary to his written word. Amen. That should give you a peace that surpasses all understanding because you have the answer book. I don't have my Bible here, it's in there. But you have the answer book. You have the book of visions, okay? You have everything already told to you what to do, how to say it, where to stand, and when you've done all you can do to stand, just simply, he says one thing, just stand. And then watch God. Amen? Watch God. Just stand and watch God. And if it was contrary to the word, I couldn't have faith in it. Bring it right back to the word. See, faith in hearing the word of God. You must hear the word. God's word is that all-sufficient word. It's all you have need of is this word. That's what Job said. Though he slay me, I will trust him. When I was a child, I spake as a child. We all did. I understood as a child. We all had that lack of understanding. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. For now you see through a glass brilliantly. Doesn't say that. Now you see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And what does that? The shout. He's given us everything we have need of. in the stature of a perfect man, Brother Branham said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have patience, you have knowledge, you have all these things. All of them, they're given to you. Like a little seed goes planted and it's got everything it ever has need of. All it needs is a little bit of water and all of a sudden it starts to grow. A little bit more water, it grows higher. And it eventually fulfills its manifested destiny. You ever hear that word, manifested destiny? Yours is to be glorified sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you'll be adopted. Hallelujah. That's your manifest destiny. This nation talks about a manifest destiny as a piece of land somewhere. No, ours is a promise of life, eternal life. So now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall know even as I'm known. See the whole thing. The way to believe. Oh, how Eve lusted for to have a PhD. You know, I know there was a minister in this message. He actually went and got his PhD and got his turned around collar so he could be really something special. Well, you know what? If you got a turned around collar, you're not going to wear a tie either. So I'm just joking, but. You know, who cares? I remember when I was only 26 before I got married. Can you imagine that? Before I got married, I actually had hair. And I had a little mission. And it was to an old folks home. There's about 70 people at the old folks home. And so I gathered the musicians in church. And some of them grabbed their children. And we went there and basically we would sing a few songs, I would speak a little bit, and I just really, really simple messages because I wanted them all to hear. I would talk about how a lamb follows after, and all the stories Brother Branham told us about a lamb licking from the rock to be healed, and how if the shepherd took a left, they took a left, and took a right back, they took a right, and just, you know, really, really simple things. And I was just wondering, you know, people were crying. I thought, wow, what are they crying about? I'm not saying nothing nasty. I'm not doing, you know, like a president does sometimes. But I was just saying simple scriptural things. And you know what's funny about that is that they wheel people out in wheelchairs. One of them was an old lady that, when I got there, she was saying, "Help me," like that. Help me. And she had bobbed hair and, you know, just looked like she really had a real hard life, terrible life. Help me, like that. And I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, "I'd like to help you." And she goes, "You can't help me. Why would you want to help me?" And I looked in her eyes and I saw myself. And I knew by scripture we're to come into Christ's image. So I said, "Well, I see Christ in your eyes." And she just started weeping. And she wept through the whole service. And I went back on Tuesday, not Monday. I saw her on Saturday. I was doing the ministry on Saturday. On Tuesday, I went back to pray for her. And they told me she had passed away. Brother Branham said, "You'll be surprised who makes it. Somehow you say something to somebody and they will be there. And I believe that's one that I'll see again." Another woman was 95 years old. And when I finished speaking to the people, and because I didn't understand what was going on, I just preached through it. But left and right, they wheeled them out and crying and this and that. And this woman stood up and she goes, "Can I say something?" And she, of course, she looked like a godly sister, had long hair, long dress and stuff. And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "I've been a Christian for 45 years. I taught Sunday school." No, she'd been Christian longer than that. "I taught Sunday school for 45 years. And she said, "All of the preachers I've ever heard never helped me like I was helped today. All of the doctors I've ever went to never helped me like I was helped today." She said, "When you started preaching or coming up, you know, singing and preaching," she said, "there was like a milky cloud behind you and it enveloped the entire audience." And now I understood why everybody was weeping. Because in his presence, you can't help but to weep. And she said that milky cloud, and I heard Brother Branham on a tape say that milky substance, that milky cloud, that's the Holy Spirit. And so she said, I saw that happen, and then a 70-year-old pastor with a turnaround collar, he said, I'm a retired Lutheran pastor. And that, later on, I talked to him personally, and I said, you don't need to wear that turnaround collar to be recognized as a Christian. Just live it. Well, he said, I saw the same thing in the mouth of two witnesses, right? But there was a 45-year-old man. He was a wheelchair jockey. And he came up and said, I saw the same thing. Now we have a witness of three. Three people that saw this milky substance come out, envelope the audience, and the audience lost it. They just started worshiping God. Now I say this just to let you know that I wasn't aware. I didn't see it. Just like I didn't see the three rainbows that came down, but people did. It wasn't for me because I already believe he's here. It was for them. So you see, you never know when you say something to a person, what it's going to mean to that person. The Bible says we entertain angels unawares. You may be God's messenger, angel, for that hour of that person's need that changes that person from cannon fodder to a believer. So watch what we say to people. Don't be arrogant. Don't be huffy. I still have this carnality in me to deal with, but I also know these things. And so, I have that war going on myself. So I'm not the epitome of, and Brother Branham was not. He was good. He was probably the best example we'll see this side of the resurrection, but he still was a man. He still walked out when the man called and his wife had to rebuke him and say, hey, he was calling and you said, tell him I'm gone, but you weren't gone when you said it. So see, he had a little bit of troubles with his flesh as well. So don't glorify the messenger, but glorify that Christ of the messenger, okay? So the things of it is, we have to believe until we get the Holy Ghost, and then we will begin to understand the things of God. Because Brother Branham himself said that to see the kingdom of God is to understand it. From it shall be even as it was told to me, he said, no matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, you see, to see, it doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith. And then when he comes into you, what happens? He says, you understand it. So don't take one quote where it says you don't have to understand, you have to believe. That's for a person who doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but he wants you to believe until you do understand. Because once you receive the Holy Ghost, you will understand. Now, I'm not saying you'll understand, all the ins and outs, like the first, the first sign had things going on. I don't even know how to explain that. But, Brother Branham did the best he could to explain the things running over his hands. Then he explained, the second pole was, to be able to know the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then the third was the spoken word. So we might not be able to understand like how to make electricity work. Now, my dad was an electrical engineer. He knew more than I do. But I believe it works, and I see how it works. And when I flip the lights, I expect them to go on. So that's kind of an understanding, because I could take a heathen from the dark jungles and show him the light switch, and he wouldn't know what to do with it. So you see, you have to have some kind of understanding there. All right. But then when he comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with me. Or it. Not what you look at, but what you believe. What you understand to be the truth. What you're looking at, the unseen, then stay with that. Now, how many people can see the unseen? But we see the manifestation of the unseen. The unveiling, that's what, when we say manifestation, it's actually the word unveiling in the Greek. It's revelation, which is unveiling, which is manifestation of divine truth. You see, it's there for us. Look, we are given a promise that he would do that in this hour. In Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Well, you know, there's one I don't like here. Well, he said all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, why do you have to say things ugly to anybody? You know, why don't you just learn to agree to disagree? You know, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I love you anyway. I'd love to hear that from everyone around me. I'd love to hear that from even ministers in this message. Instead of trying to tear away and say, you believe in two gods and you believe this and that. I don't believe in two gods. I never have preached it. But yet they say it about me. I don't know why. I don't know where they get it from, except that they get it from somebody else who gets it from somebody else who gets it from somebody else. And they are just believing a lie. But he says, after I heard of your faith, your revelation in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. And how is love expressed? For God so loved the world, he expressed what? He gave his son. He gave the most important thing that he had away. He gave it to others. What did they do with it? They abused it. But he didn't say, well, I made a mistake. No, he said, there's a reason that they abuse it. But I gave them anyway. There's a reason somebody abuses the gift that you give. But you give it anyway. I don't know how many times I've helped people build a house, build a church, and they just spit in my face and said it's not enough. But I gave it anyway. I'm not responsible for what they do with it. I'm only responsible for giving. And you're not responsible for giving. You're only responsible you're only responsible for giving, and you're not responsible for what people do with what you give them. So after all these things and my love expressed to the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. That's the Alpha. The people loved each other so much they actually lived together. Could I ask if any in here would be willing to live together? You know, you might have to before it's all over. I don't know. But that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of the doxa, there's your father and son right there. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, Brother Branham comments on this sermon from 70 weeks of Daniel. He said it's laying back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that little time. And truly believe that all things was done, and in the last days is when God is going to reveal these secret things to the church. And he hasn't done it before. And the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. Is this the last days? Well, if you're still holding on to just believing, but you don't think you have to have understanding, then you're not one of those wise in the end time he's speaking about here. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Brother Vail specifically told us that's when Christ comes down. It's when Christ is appearing before his church. It's the parousia of Christ. It's when God comes with a shout, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Tell me, any of you, prior to coming to the message, did you actually know anything about the end times? I don't think you did. You were wondering why things were happening. Now you know why they're happening. The spirit of church, the spirit of wisdom comes to the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. And I think today you know more than ever before what to expect in this hour, because we're living in Satan's Eden. Notice what he does. Notice what does he do for this hour? The eyes of your what? Understanding are going to be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory, the doxa, of his inheritance in the saints. I don't have to worry about, well, am I going to have a mansion or an apartment or maybe a condominium, or, you know, what did he go to build me? He was told, God told his prophet, and he told us what it's all about. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want him to fill every fiber of this body, and he'll complete it by filling all in all. Now, notice how much alike man and his wife. Now notice, man and wife, both naked in the Garden of Eden, God's Eden. Now I'm going to close. I said I'm going to hold just a few minutes. Look, watch. Watch now, in closing. So, this is a Laodicean age when men are blind, miserable, and naked. You can look out amongst you and you see it every day. Revelations 3:18-20. Now compare this, how much alike that man and his wife, both in God's Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them, and knew it not. For why didn't they know it? For they were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of God. You mean to tell me God created Adam, and out of Adam he took Eve, and yet they could see everything, but they couldn't see that they were naked? That's right. They were veiled. Holy veil upon their eyes. Do you have a holy veil in your eyes that you don't look at a naked woman or look at a naked man or look at all this arbitrage that goes on in the world today, calling themselves what they aren't, men calling themselves women, everything else? Are you looking at that, or are you looking at what God's word says? They could look right at each other and they didn't know that they were naked. They were veiled with the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. God's veil, yet today, can look and not lust. Brother Vail told me there was a man he knew, and he was sitting on an airplane, and there's all kinds of worldly music going on around him and stuff like that. This man, he said, knew seven languages. He was a brilliant Christian. He said, I didn't hear any of that. My thoughts were so much into God, I just overlooked it. It was background noise, but you ever hear background noise that you, if you keyed in on it, you wouldn't like it? But because it's background noise, you don't even notice it? That's God. That's his seed. He said, who is my servant? Like a blind man and a deaf man? And Jesus said, I only see what the Father showed me. I walked past 300 people in need to heal the one God showed me. That's a blind man, that blind to everything but the word. And we're to be in the likeness of his son, who's in the likeness of his father. So it's God's veil, yet today can look and not lust. They turn their head, it's a holy veil. See, holy veil, God had their eyes. They were both one. One was man, the other was woman, and they did not know that they were naked because the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. Notice God hid their conscience from sin by the holy veil. Wish we had some time to lay on that for a few minutes. I wish we did too. Looky here. For he, the worshiper once purged, that's Hebrews, the worshiper once purged has no more conscience of sin. No more conscience of sin. Are you plagued every day by something you did years ago? You haven't applied the blood right. It should be no more in your conscience as in God's. God looks at you under the blood of his son and sees you as perfect as he saw his other son, the firstborn son. Wow. I'm so thankful for that. For the worshiper once purged, has no more conscience of sin. Sin is passed from him. Sin is unbelief. Is it past? I believe it is. But this is the hour that we have to come within the veil. And see as God sees. Do you want God to see what's on your perverted mind? I don't think so. I think you want to see what God wants you to see. And you want to see as he sees. God has come down with a shout, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself, as we have never seen in any age before. So we are without excuse when God himself says to only believe and you will see miracles take place. From putting on the whole armor of God, Brother Branham said, now, he said, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, demonstrate the power. And these signs, now you got to believe that you have the power in order to demonstrate it. All right? And these signs shall follow them that accept the gospel, see? Now look, it matters not whether you have seen this or not. He said, so all you have to do is believe what he said and leave the results up to him. If he doesn't come through for you, there can only be two answers. Either you don't believe what he said, or two, God is a liar. That's all. And the Bible tells us he is not a man that he could lie. Brother Peter, when the tornado was headed for your house and you believed God rather than the tornado, what happened? It split. How many have had similar instances in your life where it looked like it was heading one direction, but you believed God and it didn't happen that way? That's God. If he doesn't come through for you, and there can only be two answers, either you don't believe God or you call him a liar. Now, not just say intellectual words. No, they couldn't do that with intellectual words. That word has to be made flesh and manifested, see? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak in new tongues, take up servants, drink deadly things, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost, the word made manifest. These things I'm telling you, you will come to pass. Like quickening word, come to pass. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It's not in you. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. See, Brother Branham said, when you're born again, you have enough of God in you then to create worlds and go live on them. I'd like to see someone in here have enough faith for that. If we're believing in a rapture, we're going to a place where he has for us, we should all believe that. I have enough faith to glorify this body and transport me out of here. Amen? Dwell on that all week. These things I'm telling you will come to pass, like quickening word, come to pass. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit doing it, see? Now, to be an effective witness of God, you have to have the Holy Ghost, because without the Holy Ghost, you can't make that live. And that is why I preach on my witness in my life of him doing only what could be done supernaturally. In other words, I took two sermons on it and labeled somewhere 45 different things that I have seen him, I've been witness to him. You should be able to do the same. Get yourself a little booklet and start scrawling, and you'll find that you have more of these than you even think that you have. Because I believe when you start focusing on him and the things that he has done, he's going to quicken to your memory more things that he did that you didn't understand at the time, but they were definitely supernatural. And that is why I preached on my witness, okay? But you got to get your head out of your job and your family. I've seen athletes, super athletes, and all of a sudden they don't perform anymore. Then you find out he's going through a divorce. His life is being pulled in many directions. And he starts taking dope and different things to try to overcome. You don't need that. You don't need that. Look at everything that's happening to you as a blessing and not a curse. I know a brother who was married, had a very, I would say, terrible marriage, because all the money he made, she spent. And when she told him that she was going to divorce him, that was actually the biggest blessing, because God freed him up, because he was married in adultery. He didn't know it at the time he married her. And God freed him up from that adulterous situation, and now he's living for the Lord every day. That is a true blessing, my brother, my sister. But you got to get your head out of your job. You got to get your head out of your family or your business, whatever else is distracting you from seeing what is obvious. He is here, a supernatural God amongst a natural people. From the image of Christ, Brother Branham told us, I want a closer walk. How many in here would like a closer walk? I want more of the Holy Spirit in me. Can I say an amen to that? To reflect who? Christ in me. Not myself to man, Christ in me. I want to be like him. I know that every true Christian wants to be like him. That's my heart's desire, to be like Jesus. Why I want him to be my, and I want him to be the, he is the example of what I want to be. And look, it'll take the Holy Ghost to do that. That's the only thing that I can do, because I can't do it. I can't do anything but what the Father shows me, the Holy Ghost, see. So, we all want to be like him, but when he offers you an opportunity to reflect on him, what do you do with that opportunity? Are you actually looking for him? Or are you waiting for him to do something like he did to the Apostle Paul and knock you off your high horse? The Bible says he comes to those who are, what? Looking for him. From Go Tell My Disciples, Brother Branham said, and brother, sister, as long as down in my heart, through the black clouds of torment and trials and troubles, if I can feel the Holy Spirit press through once in a while and give me a blessing, I know the power of God still lives and reigns somewhere. That's right. Why do you think he gives you a touch every so often? A touch of supernatural to let you know, although you're in this natural body, you've got a supernatural body coming. You know, he wants you to see how this celestial body is like a seed, and it must rot in the ground, but then it'll come up a new plant. That's what God wants from you. So don't be afraid if in your old age you're crumbling away. Praise God for it, because you're going to get your new body. From the token, Brother Branham said, now, what is a token? It is a confirmation of his word. That shows he is the word. Oh, how I just love that. We know he is the word, and we see his word materialize right before us. It is him that is revealing or unveiling himself to us. You see, the world cannot see, but you shall see. Why? Because he's in you, he's with you, and even in you. And so you're seeing him that's in you. He promised us in Scripture, John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So we see him because he will be living his life through your vessel. It's him, like Paul said in Galatians, actually chapter 2, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I am living, but yet not I who is living, but Christ is actually living in me. And the life which I am now living in the flesh is not my life. I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God." He knew he was a son, and you know you're a son. He knew his... For this purpose have I come into the world, that he could be the once for all sacrifice so that you might live again. He died. He received on Mount Transfiguration his inheritance. And God said, all power is given. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And the oneness thing, oh, then God didn't have it anymore. But, you know, the when the child is adopted, he's given everything the Father had. But then he went directly to the cross, and you wonder why. He went for you so that we could become joint heirs with Christ. When God raised him up from the dead, he's going to raise you up too. Wow. Then it wasn't just for the blood to cover my sins, because actually God saw me sinless because of my revelation that I'm a son of God and my revelation that I have a once for all sacrifice that God is looking through. So the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is Christ's own revelation that he's a son that you also are living by. In other words, I am a son. Can you say that? Amen. And you also believe that you are a son. And just as he lived, you conduct your own life because it is the same revelation that controls your life. God is your father, and he is Jesus' older brother. Now, before you understood this revelation, how did you pray? Well, God, I hope this is right. I hope this is right. God, will you do this? You didn't even know. You just said some words, and you're hoping he'd answer. But now you can come to him and say, I am your son, and I'm needing of this, and you promised me in your word this, this, and this, so I'm repeating back your promise, and just waiting for you to bring manifestation in this life that I'm living. That is what Easter is all about. I didn't come this morning to preach about 2,000 years ago what happened. I'm preaching about what's taking place today. The resurrected Christ is among us. We have vindicated evidence that he is here. We have vindicated evidence that we will also receive our resurrection and our change of our body. Wow. So now we know what Easter is all about. The same life that he lived comes back upon you and me, and the same God will raise us all up together. I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you orphans anymore. When is a child no longer an orphan? At the time of adoption. You see? You see how the scripture is so perfect? That word comfortless is orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. How? He answers that with the next words. Because I live, you shall live also. That's the same thing Paul said in Galatians 2:20. And at that day, what day? This day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You shall know that I am in my Father, the Word, and you in me, the manifested Word, and I, the manifested Word, in you. Wow. That's pretty powerful. He said the world can't see him, but you will see him. Because I live, you will live also. Now, the Word said he raised up from the dead and he's alive forevermore. That is our Easter promise. And we have seen him in this hour as the resurrected Jesus. The world don't see him, the Bible promised. They don't see him, that he's here. But you see him. He's done too much in your life to know that he's not real. For he has come down with a shout, a message showing he is alive forevermore. He is showing that he is the resurrected one, showing us his resurrection life and getting us ready for our resurrection life. He lives in his people, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? That's Brother Branham. If you believe that, then you have a right if you have that token. The Holy Spirit in you, you have a right to everything that his death purchased for you. Won't you believe that? And the congregation says, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are thankful, Lord, for such a message as you've given us today. Gives us hope, Lord, and knowing that we are ordained to life. And Father, we're thankful for that. And we ask, Lord, that all of your word comes to pass. For, Lord, you spoke in John 5:19 in different places. The Father, he that believeth shall receive eternal life. And that's what we believe. And we also not just believe it, but we understand it because we see God living the life of Christ out from our very fibers. Unworthy as they are, yet you do not consider us unworthy, or you would not have sacrificed your Son as a once for all sacrifice for us. But we see it as a truth, we believe it as a truth, and the Spirit of truth vindicates that it is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.